Welcome. I'm Vince Kelvin, and tonight, to help you, we address the very common tendency, occurrence, of sometimes wanting to talk, but somehow, even though you want to, you're not doing it. And the first recommendation is to understand that it's not abnormal. But if we think that it is abnormal, then whenever we approach anything, no matter what it is, and we're under the impression that something is abnormal, it right away will further destabilize us. So the headway I have made, because make no mistake, I'm a human being, I'm not a machine. I'm not necessarily going to talk all the time. Yet the difference has been that throughout the years, I have learned to make less and less and less and less and less of a big deal of it. I do not treat it anymore as something abnormal. The benefit, as we're about to take it further, is that it allows you to remain a little more stable. Otherwise, it triggers the fight-flight mechanism, and then it becomes a near obsession. We're no longer present with ourselves, we're no longer observing, we're no longer receptive, and we're no longer resourceful. What we tend to do usually is start to get hard on ourselves. It's an internal experience, and we begin to wrestle with ourselves, and there's no reason for that. So, for those times when you want to talk and you're not talking, ease. Remind yourself, it's absolutely normal. Reassure yourself. It's important to start to recognize that it begins with our relationship with ourselves. What does that mean, a relationship with ourselves? It's how we relate with ourselves. How do most people relate with themselves? They're already not the kindness they could be to themselves. Oftentimes, they treat others better than themselves, or they make others more important. And usually, it's kind of okay until there's a little sign of distress. And that can be corrected, the responses that we subconsciously have when we begin to get hard on ourselves, even if it's in minimal ways. The moment we go, oh, I should talk, I'm not talking, then we are not supportive of ourselves. Imagine you have a second person next to you, and the best they can do to encourage you is to point out what you're not doing. They're saying, come on, you should talk, you're not talking, why you're not talking? If we don't be careful, it soon, step number two, starts to become a little bit of a story. And in fact, I've learned through time that we shouldn't rush to conclusion, because it might be just a random little moment right there, and there can be another opportunity, something else, and there we are going for it. But that becomes impossible in the moment if we get preoccupied and we begin to invest into the thought that we're not doing it. So lighten that up. Recommendation number two, don't build the case of it. Don't start to tell a story about it. Know that it may be a random occurrence, and next you're in an interaction. Number three, process it this way. This is really helpful. Again, if you just joined, we're addressing tonight the common occurrence of you want to talk, but you're not talking. And because you're with you most of the time, all the time, but you don't have the benefit of the reference of thousands of students and tens of thousands of experiences in field with them and so on, then it might seem that it's abnormal and it's a personal problem, when in fact it happens to all of us. So understand that you got to change the frame, the core frame. Instead of thinking that there's something wrong, and at times you talk, but you wonder why in a different setting, maybe you use to nighttime and you don't talk much during the day, or vice versa, or perhaps in certain settings, location, with certain people, with a certain number of people, with a certain format. Maybe if you already are with people and somebody introduces you, then you go on and you talk and you talk. But if there's no one around, it appears as if it's not there. Rephrase that. That's a great favor you can give yourself. Instead, phrase it this way. I'm simply unaware that I could do it now. I'm simply unaware. Somewhere, somehow, I'm buying into a false evidence that appears real to me. Fear, false evidence appearing real. It's a nice little acronym. I'm certainly not the first one to state that. And yet, that becomes helpful when we pause and look a little bit beyond and under just the surface. It's a great little quote. Oftentimes we repeat quotes to ourselves and others, but we never take the time to pause and go, oh, I'm having a false, I'm focusing on a false evidence, and it appears real to me. So I backtrack, and the new mindset would be, for whatever reason, you find yourself noticing that at some point you want to talk, but you're not talking. Maybe it's in the moment, or maybe it's an observation in general where you find yourself more talkative in certain settings or certain times and not at others. It is absolutely not abnormal. It becomes very difficult to shift it if we don't shift right away thinking, hey, no big deal, it's going to come. But instead, if we start to think that something is wrong, it activates the fight flight, and we start to look for an answer, and we deviate. Now, the second key recommendation is to also understand that it's not final, it's not fatal. We are not stuck in it. So we begin to feel like we're stuck in it when we start to emphasize that. We energize it. We start to tell a story around it. We tell the story as it's happening in our own head or to a wing, and then we tell the story later on to other people. And we make statements like, hey, you know, sometimes that's weird, sometimes I talk, sometimes I don't, and we energize that. If, in fact, we go, hey, you don't know, don't draw any conclusion. Reassure yourself, and somewhere, somehow, there's going to be another step. Let go, because otherwise you're going to start to generalize. And wherever we generalize, it brings us to the same place because of the generalization. The third one is process it in a new way, frame it in a new way, instead of thinking that sometimes it's there, sometimes it's not there. Recognize that it's there all the time. There's just times when you become aware that it's there because there's a little evidence within or around you, and times when, because there's no evidence, up until now you would question the fact that it's already there in fact. Okay? So, at this point, for any of the members of our programs, if you be kind enough to let the other guys know that we're on in the thread. Before we take questions, because this way you're going to give me ideas to cover further aspects of what we're talking about, I'm going to tell you how I process it personally. I avoid trying to get in a mode when I'm not in it. Otherwise, I'm fighting. I'm going against it. So that mode of, I see a girl, I go and I talk, I call that sniper. If my feet are walking and my lips are moving and I'm doing it, it's a confirmation that it's the mode of operation at the time. If for whatever reason I'm not doing it at that moment, instead of insisting that I should, I shift and I go for different modes. One mode might be I focus more first on being social. So there's a little base, there's a little foundation. Or I focus simply on reconnecting with myself. Now, being social, know that oftentimes, even though eventually that's what you want, too many obsess about doing first what they're less likely to do. So they start to look for the most beautiful woman and then realize that they're not taking action. A smarter way is look for whomever is already a little bit more talkative to re-engage yourself. The moment you have more than one person, one out of the two is a little bit more talkative, open. You turn that into 10 or 20. You can't be in a store without having one of the cash register person a little bit more talkative. Why don't you focus on them? And it is clear that it's not about pickup, about seduction. It is part of the process. But we know that if it's a guy or if it's an elder woman or if it's a woman that's not that appealing, you're better off to at least be engaged. And it's easy sometimes to branch. Let's say you're talking to the cash register person and there's a pretty girl behind you. If you're already more talkative and upbeat with the cash register person, to turn around and go, oh, I'm taking a lot of time, I didn't see. Why, you're carrying a lot. Seems a little easier, although all of it is easy. It's just that we are not thinking of it that way. So until we think differently, the element of difficulty appears very real. But eventually, all difficulty is because of the way we process it. So it's a little easier than if you are not talking and you're looking at the person and now you got to take that step. You can certainly take that step, but this is for those moments when we are unaware that we can take the step. So get going. If you're walking around, enter a store until somebody says, may I help you? And then you don't have to turn that into a pickup, even if the person is pretty, but it's a way to engage yourself. So here's my sequence, and then we're going to open the floor for interacting, where you'll be able to bring up some topics that you make some requests and so on. So for me, I treat it this way. First, I like to have a metaphor. My metaphor is building a fire. Maybe you've heard me talk about that before, and it will be a great reminder to use that. And it's, in fact, more than a reminder. Sometimes, you know, we fast start going, oh, thank you, that was a good reminder. I kind of know. Well, if we really know it, then we're doing it. For as long as we're not doing it, it's more than a reminder. It means that we need to hear it again, play with it a little bit more, dissect a little deeper, and so on. So now, I think I'm building a fire. So the first distinction is, in building a fire, there are going to be elements used at the beginning that have nothing to do with the end result. We may use a match, a lighter, a touch of fuel. There's so many things, paper. If we're stranded, we may start, I once started a fire with a napkin or even a piece of plastic. It was a little disgusting, but that's all that we had to get a flame going so the bigger logs would catch on fire. My point is this, the elements used initially to start the fire are not the end result. We're not doing a paper fire. We're not doing a match fire, matches, a fire of matches. So then when I do pick up, the initial ingredients, the little chit-chat with the security guard, the hello to the valet, a quick question, all of that is not the end result, but it's what gets the process going. Based on this metaphor, I got to ask myself, where does it begin? Well, if I'm not interacting in an efficient way with one person, then I'm not doing anything. So it starts with me. So there's no obligation. This is way beyond the idea that you should pump yourself up or get yourself in state. You should be with you where you're at, and you should turn that into something a little more productive. You could reassure yourself. You could amuse yourself. You could educate yourself. And we're not talking anything outside of what's already there and already available. So oftentimes, I may notice something. I go, was this store always there? And I'm genuine about it. I'm not looking for something I could talk about. It's a genuine experience. Me with me. Was this store always there? Go past it. Silly question. But I'm having this weird experience where I'm here often, but I've never seen this store. Was it there before? Oh, you don't even know. Are you not from around here? Oh, that's not the help I was looking for. So notice how rapidly then it becomes much easier to interact. So that's the first starting point. From there, interact with the surroundings. Once you connect with yourself, connect a little bit with your surroundings. Watch also that excessive eagerness to talk to someone. It's good. The 3-second rule. Yes, as a habit. Producing results, absolutely. But make sure it comes from the right place. Because from the wrong place, which would be, I'm afraid that I may not talk to someone, so I need to prove to myself that I'm okay and I'm going to talk to someone, that's not the right place to start from. Okay? So right there, I would prefer personally to ease a touch, to go, there's plenty, it's coming, relax, rest assured. And then, of course, start a little interaction. It would be wise also to pick places that you like and go there more often. You could start something so simple. There could be a valet parking person, and you ask them a short little question, and then you thank them. And then you pass by 2 days after that, they are there, and then you go, ah, thank you again. I did find the place the other day. And then on the third day, you go, you here every day. I'm Vince, by the way. What's your name? Now, at least the benefits will be it keeps you talkative. So you're no longer the guy walking around and because there's no one in sight, you're not talking. People know people, so you never know when you're going to see that person and there's other people there and now you know those other people. Or it could be that they don't even need to know each other, but they could be that you see a group of girls and now you're the more popular guy and you're less of a threat because I notice a big difference, okay? Everything is possible, and yet you have to admit that when you are perceived by women as somebody who's already interacting with people, and preferably not 10 guys that are staring around looking for the next girl, because then obviously it's a bunch of guys and they're looking for a girl. But there's a dynamic going on. It really eases them, okay? So meanwhile, I am happy to free flow more. That's not even free flow. These are some of the newest distinctions than some basics. I open the floor. I give you 10, 20 seconds. I know that you're probably waiting for somebody else. So I remain silent for 10 to 20 seconds.
Hey, Vince. Paul from San Francisco. Question. Yeah,
hey,
question
Paul.
For you. Yeah, imagine a rave-type environment where there's no drugs and alcohol. How would you work the techniques that you described there, like that type of environment? That would be helpful for me.
Okay, here's what would be more helpful for you, okay? It's a false notion. It's not really pickup to put the venue or the people first. And to think that a different protocol would be needed there. Game is game. When you got game, we could drop you at a little mission somewhere where it's a group of volunteers that are there to rescue animals. And before you know it, you would get a lot of popularity, and if there happened to be a couple of females there, even if that was not their intention at first, after a while they would gravitate towards you. So I've noticed it. Wherever there's big dogs, guys that either naturally are already around women and it's not a big deal for them, or guys who paid their dues and they're producing results, they don't think that it's a different approach in that setting, if it's salsa, if it's this. Yeah, there's a couple little things that through the years, little distinction that we added, but they're add-ons. On the other hand, those who seem to wrestle and struggle the most with it, they treat every situation, every person as if it's a brand new thing. So you would do exactly what I suggested to do. But we often don't hear it because we still exist in a frame that causes us to treat, oh, that would be different over there, and then we get a little preoccupied. So I think it's not easy to really learn game and hear it for as long as we come a little bit preoccupied. What could preoccupy us? The first biggest preoccupation is if we don't have prior reference of thriving or even barely doing pretty good with it, you know, if we're not the guy that, yeah, I had a couple of girlfriends in my teens, you know, it's two hands already, meaning it was more than five, and kind of same, you know, a good dozen in my early 20s. So the guy has some reference. So he's probably a little frustrated. Maybe he had a broken heart at some point. But if a guy has less than that as a reference, then he's kind of preoccupied, rightfully so. And it would be easy that he questions himself. So his preoccupation will cause him to overly filter everything instead of assimilating it in a pretty simple way. If, let's say, a person decides to play hockey, okay, they will say, this is the skates. You put them on your feet and you tie them. I think you got them. Try to tie them a little bit more. Got it. Okay, go slow. Grab your club and push the puck a little bit. Now, if we'll approach pickup that way, or even if we're behind a computer, press that key, turn it on, simple instructions, I'm following along, then we would make quite a bit of headways. But oftentimes we're a little overly preoccupied because we're not sure that we can do it, and that's a big mistake. We're as capable. It's just somewhere, somehow, you didn't get the references, but that's okay. It does not depend on that. So be mindful of that. Things like that begin to change when we recognize them. And recognize them with no blame, no fault finding. It just is that simple. Sometimes we come in because we're a little preoccupied, either because of a situation that just got terminated or was terminated but we're not letting go. Okay, guy, it got pretty dramatic in the relationship and he didn't let it go. Or a situation that's near. And then we hear very little. The better way to do it, according to the teaching of Casanova, is to hear it as is, start to play with it, and then watch it spread in all areas of your life versus reversing the model. See, if we take a cup and we flip it backwards, well, we got water or whatever the liquid was everywhere. So too often, guys, they flip it around, and then they wonder, I got all that water on the ground. What happened? You flipped it around. You put the preoccupation, the girl, the setting, your concerns, your lack of experience first, and that's backwards. And you're trying to customize the learning to fit that. That's backwards. Dive into the learning and insert it in those situations and make it clear to you that it's not different. The kind of game that we teach and do, it's based on a deeper understanding of human dynamic, human dynamics and masculine and feminine. So that would nullify the concern of just, you know, you're building a fire. So you arrive over there. It doesn't matter if there's alcohol or not. If you dislike alcohol, don't be where there is alcohol or be okay with it. And laugh and go, lots of drunks here. If you like alcohol and you dislike being around people that are having a sober party, either don't stay or laugh. That part is pretty simple. There, make sure that you are with you. Get curious that you don't disconnect and look around if you're not talking right away. Remind yourself, it's normal. It's going to come. Don't build a story around it. then know that you're capable. It's not that you cannot and you have to find something special. You're capable. This is what I shared at the beginning. And then from there, you are to build a little fire. So first thing I would do is look for everybody who's already a little bit more talkative or natural and accidental opportunities. Natural would be you buy a door when there's people, there's going to be a lot of holding the door, passing you first, people standing there. So that could lead to minimal little interaction. Oh, I'm holding the door for two more people. Third one, I'm sorry, you're going to, okay, one more. Okay? So you know that if you position yourself properly, you can start to capitalize on those little natural accidental occurrences, as I call them. They're inevitable. And then wherever we are, there are people who are already a little more talkative or want to talk, a little more upbeat. There's the easy interactions. There's those who kind of are, there's the commonality. A smoker starts to smoke next to a smoker. That's something in common. You have a lighter? No, I don't. Oh, okay. Oh, wow. They really don't like smoking around here. A person walking a dog is walking a dog, sees another dog. That's it. You're in. So look for those things. If you are in a setting where you seem that you don't know anybody, look for the other person that doesn't know anybody. There's going to be a couple other people. Or look for those who know somebody, but they're already super upbeat. Keep it super simple and know that you are free. But if you repeat that common pitfall of thinking that, how would you do it if it's in the business district? Same thing. How would you do it if you're visiting friends? Same thing. You need game. Okay? So, excellent. It's going to be a fairly short call tonight. I want to capitalize on the richness of it. It's easy to also keep on searching outside. If we can't just be the seeker, we got to be the finder. How the seeking is beautiful, because if we stop seeking, we stop growing. So personally, I want to be a greater seeker than ever before. But you also have to embrace being the finder. And the finder, it's a gradual process. So don't be the guy that's already looking for the next answer. Be the guy who will go, interesting. Build it like you're building a fire. Okay, I'm going to give that a go. Here's the valet parking guy. Chat a little bit. Interesting. Those moments when, for whatever reason, I don't talk. So apparently, what Vince has been doing throughout the years that changed that completely for him, first he realized it's not abnormal. There's such a variety of factors why it would not happen. But if we treat it as abnormal, the moment you go, oh, no, I'm not doing this, oh, I should, oh, I haven't, you shut down your system. The mind-body connection, the our beings are very intricate systems that are way more complex than we know it. Sometimes a person is a little bit surprised. As a way to respond to the surprise, they're breathing a little bit less. Now their thinking starts to go to weird places, and then they start to have a strange emotion, and then suddenly, for a brief moment, it feels as if they're clueless, and you would tell them, tell me a little something about you, and they go, oh, well, I don't know. You find the same person at some point in a different setting speaking freely. So avoid thinking that it's abnormal. Your mantra is, it's normal, it's all good. Second, don't sit on it. The moment I stop sitting on it, if I show up somewhere and suddenly I notice myself, for whatever reason, not doing much, if I sit on it, it gets worse. If I go, hey, I don't know what's going to happen next, and I can choose to make something happen next. That we got to bring in that element of choice. We forget that we have the choice. We live under the impression that we don't have another choice. We have a different choice. And from there, number three is, if you frame it as, well, sometimes I talk, but at other times I don't, that's a frame that's not precise enough for you to make headways. A more precise frame would be that of, Sometimes I remember that I can, and sometimes I don't remember that I can. But it's already there. And it's all self-relation. Those solutions are very powerful. They appear to be simple, but here's a distinction. Usually, the remedy tends to be the opposite of what needs a remedy. Example, there's a fire, water is the opposite, but that's the remedy. So when it feels complex, when we feel like we don't know how to handle it, it's a great indication to infuse some simplicity. And if you choose simplicity as a mode of operation when you learn pickup, you'll go much faster, much further. What do I mean by simplicity? Don't add too much. Go, okay? First, interact with whomever looks a little bit more open. I got eyes, even if I'm not a master of calibration, I can make the difference between a person smiling and already talking in the distance when they're ordering their food, even though it's just a clerk. Maybe they know the person, but still, they're talkative. So if they were talking and smiling like that to that person, and that's certainly not sexual attraction because that person is an elder gentleman, that means that it won't take much for that person to do the same with me. Let me focus on that person right now. I'm open to taking one other quick question. We're entering a very exciting season because, as you may know or not, we're nearing EC20. My colleagues from all around the world, I invite them each year to join me so we can begin to optimize in a balanced manner all aspects of our lives. And if we expect that just entering the new year and making a few resolutions is going to revolutionize our reality, that's off. We need to be exposed to people who are already producing the results, and we need to be exposed to higher mindsets and sets of skill sets that will help us. I bring people like Brian Casella. In 4 years, he became a millionaire doing what he loves in the field of real estate, and he is helping so many to do the same successfully. What's also fascinating is that initially, his career as an athlete came to an end because of injury. So that's to show that no matter what the adversity, you can find success and make success happen. Of course, my spiritual brother, Raj Depardi Bazar, he lives a life that is, to pretty much every other man, just a fantasy. That's why many who don't know him, when they first hear about it, they find it almost too good to be true. But I can tell you, it is beyond true. It is a masterpiece, and he's so achieved in so many different ways. The man almost enters a new incarnation every day. That's his level and rate of growth. There's Frank White, who brings a sense of spirituality that's compatible no matter what your lifestyle is. Catherine Oman, who teaches Tantra, Hypnotica, one of the pioneers of game. He was there since the beginning, like me. So we all gather EC20. There's going to be a link. It's all over social media, but there's also a link in the description of the recording of this call afterwards. And you can even watch it from home, although the journey, a nice little vacation in California, in Hollywood, is going to be phenomenal. I'm open to take one more question or interact with one more of you.
What's up, BK? This is Akash here. Not really sure what I have to say, but that's exactly why I'm voicing myself right now, because I found that the times that I don't know what to say are the times that it's most important to say something. So that's what I have for you today, Vince. Just practicing my communication and being really enthusiastic, bringing more different tonalities to it, really stepping up on all aspects of my communication, and that's what I have for you today. So thank you very much, VK. Such a rich call today.
Yes, and everybody, please, this is a prime habit, not only for social arts. There's two things there that are absolutely phenomenal as habits that need to be outlined. The first one is sometimes referred to as contrary action. meaning when we feel that maybe we don't need to talk, or when we don't have the need to take a step. To take a step then takes us further, okay? And now we're no longer dependent on the need to have to take a step, which in the long run will resolve the tendency that many have. Suddenly you got fire on your ass. Suddenly it's like, oh no, the girl is leaving. Oh, my finances suck, whatever it is. And then we dive in, we make some headways, it gets a little bit better, we slow down and we go in circles, or as most say it, up and down. The mindset of the true champion is you further take steps, because that's how you that's how you got where you wanted to be, okay? What got you in the relationship is that you suddenly started to work on yourself. You want the relationship to go somewhere, continue. Double the effort. And also, at a social standpoint, it's essential to seize every opportunity to speak up. In a way, you become a master at amogging, at leading, and so on. Well, on my side, I'm going to pitch in something else, okay? Oftentimes, one of the reasons why we stay into not talking and we may get a little hard on ourselves is because at the core, we call it biochemistry. Bio is simply to state that it's organic. It's not the kind of chemistry, chemical solution that would cause instant or fairly rapid death. So it can exist within the body, and then it is chemical. And usually, almost like if we eat a little bit, we want to eat more, we want to eat something that's more yummy, the body becomes dependent on the production of those chemicals. And now rapidly, the body will choose the one that is more intense, the one that is more dense. So oftentimes, when we feel a bit bored and we're not tapping into our power and we're not taking the first chance to take a step, like Akash spoke up, in that moment for him, his biochemistry went up towards something that's pleasant and that's also useful. If instead we keep it at, yeah, that's good stuff, that's okay, after a while, that biochemistry of, yeah, I'm okay, I'm all right, I'm not feeling too good, is not intense enough for us. So what would be a more intense, and I really simplify, this is in lay terms, okay? Nevertheless, based on accurate observations. Then what would be a more intense than the biochemistry of, okay, the biochemistry of distress? For some, they repress, and it's a very intense internal experience that's very uncomfortable. But we stay in it, and we go back to it because it is a greater intake of at the biochemistry level than that of, yeah, I don't know, I'm okay. For some that are a little bit more proactive, it turns into anger. So the solution is to take action so it will naturally shift our biochemistry to something that is more dense but more pleasant and healthier to the body long term. So I'm uncovering new pieces, facets, and angles at the speed of light. That is why one recommendation is total immersion, which many of you guys are part of. The challenge is also many begin, few continue. So I want to urge you to know that at the core, probably the simplest of all success formula is we're free at any given time to make different choices. A great life, a passion may unveil an even greater one. I've went through a series of passions in my life thinking that's it, that is the love of my life in terms of work, until I found something even greater. In that moment, it's important to know the fine line between, okay, am I doing it out of obligation or am I doing it because I want to do it? The moment you want to do it, though, it's important for you. And girls are not going to change, and your desire for them is not going to go away. Then you have to know that consistency is key, because most begin a little too soft and they don't follow through. And if I look back at all of the people that have entered the Speak Up community in the 25 years that I've been witnessing it, which I think is a little bit more. My first exposure to it was 97, 98. Okay? So, yeah, it's about there. It's about there. So, in 95, I was doing pickup, but unknowing that there was the birth of a community. There's only a handful that have stayed with it and continuously have been creating and proactive. So give yourself the gift to stick with this. Everybody wants the quick fix. Everybody's hoping that they're going to get the girl. So many disappear. If you know how many guys finally they bed one girl, and then they disappear. And then suddenly they come back, sometimes 3 weeks down the road, sometimes 3 months, sometimes 3 years after. And the relationship is no longer. And during that whole time, they could have continued to grow, but they did not. They went right back even worse than before. Okay, so thank you, everybody. Come to EC20, at least read about it. The description is, the link is in the description. Thank you, Paul, and thank you, Cash, for pitching in. Thank you, everybody, for joining. We're on every single Monday.